We want to welcome you to our Smart and Connected Community Solicitation webinar. The meeting is being recorded. I am David Corman from our SISE Directorate. SISE is Computer Information Science and Engineering. I am joined here with my fellow program director, Dr. Michal Zivel. Our webinar will provide information on the Smart and Connected Community Program, as well as the current solicitation, NSF 21-535. Before we start, I want to provide a real quick overview of today's webinar. Our webinar will be roughly an hour in duration. We'll present for approximately 40 minutes, and then the remainder of the time will be dedicated to a question and answer session with our webinar participants. Please ask your questions via the Q&A icon at any time, and we will respond to them verbally at the end of the presentation. Dr. Vishal Sharma, who is a AAAS, American Advancement Academy for the Advancement of Science and Technology Fellow, who is supporting us on this program, will be helping with the with a Q&A. Presentation component of the webinars being recorded and will be posted on the Smart and Connected Community website. Okay, let's go to slide 2 very quickly.
I think a few people are still joining us right now that I think we may want to wait about another minute as more participants join.
Okay. Do you want to move ahead to slide 2 anyway? And next slide after that. And the number still increases.
It is. I think we can probably get started.
Okay. Okay, let me just briefly state for those that have just joined. I'm David Corman from our SISE Directorate. I'm joined here with my fellow program director, Dr. Michal Zivel. Our presentation will be roughly 40 minutes with about 20 minutes for question and answer. And question and answer should be submitted through the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Okay, let me say a few words about our Smart and Connected Community Program. So our Smart and Connected Community Program involves four, is multi-directorate, involves four directorates, including the size, the engineering, social, behavioral, and economics directorate, and the education and human resources directorate. This is very much an integrated program that doesn't simply consider the technology side, but calls for what we refer to as integrative research. NSF also works with multiple agencies that span the federal government in the area of smart connected communities, smart cities, and we have, as you have seen, a solicitation, in our solicitation, an engagement with Japan Science and Technology Agency, who was also part of our previous solicitation. Let's go to the next slide. This slide identifies our Smart and Connected Community Program context. Just a couple of points here. If you have a question about the program, don't send the same note to everyone listed on the solicitation as a point of contact. Contact the program director who you feel may be most able to answer your very specific question. Okay, we'll now provide some basic overview information about Smart and Connected Community Program at NSF. One of the first questions that you may ask is, what is a community? In the context of our solicitation, communities have geographic boundaries. They may be large, they may be small. They may be urban, they may be rural. They may be an overall region, so they may be several counties, they may include several states, they may be cities, towns, rural areas. The main point is they consist of various populations that have a structure and ability to engage in meaningful ways with the research activities. A key here is that the proposal must include deep engagement with a community, and in particular, the individuals within the community who can support the integration of that research into a pilot and show impact. We also define, back one more chart. Okay, we also define here what is a smart and connected community and who are community stakeholders. Some stakeholders are listed here. It's not an exclusive or exhaustive list, but the key idea is stakeholders will actively participate in the integration of the research concept. You may also need to reach down to various individuals within the community, or you may be working with civic organizations of many types. Some of those may include things like planning, transportation, other city departments, collectives, regional leaders, churches and other organizations, nonprofits, NGOs, or social service agencies. Communities, stakeholders can be broad, but we want to see real participation. And that the community, what we want you to do is think about community, the concept of community, from a reviewer perspective. We receive many questions. Does this qualify as a community? Is this a community? And the issue we have is, If you have angst about whether this is a community or not, will your reviewers share that same angst and question whether it is indeed a community? Let's go to the next chart. This chart shows the overall goals and motivation for the Smart Connected Community Program. A few important points here. First, at the top left, we show that there's fundamental science and engineering and community impact. We like to see that the science and engineering impacts the community and that the community helps to shape the form of that science and engineering. Our program involves use-inspired research, use-inspired community-focused research. It should be integrative and consider technological and social dimensions. The proposal should clearly identify pilot research activities that are being performed together with their communities. We also look at, can the research be scaled up or down based on the community size? Is it transferable to other communities? And how might it be sustained after the period of the award? On the right-hand side, what you see is our flower diagram. So our flower diagram includes several important elements. On the outside of the circle, you see a set of application spaces or application domains where many of our proposals lie. Those might be areas such as health and well-being, emergency management, public safety, agriculture, rural areas, urban and rural planning, water management, et cetera, et cetera. Inside the circle, you see a set of core research areas that represent the intellectual and foundational research spaces for smart and connected community. These include both technology and social and behavioral and learning science elements. For example, education and workforce research, psychology, AI and machine learning, safety, autonomy, control. The band between those core research areas and application spaces is our community engagement. And community engagement is critical to any project. Just a couple of takeaways. SNCC research must be integrative, there must be clear community engagement, and research should be foundational. But the nature of foundational research truly depends on the specific program. In the Smart and Connected Community Program, we're not looking for subatomic particles or black holes or creating mathematical proofs. There should be a clear element of discovery, along with, as Dr. Zivell will address later, a set of coherent research questions that will frame the proposed research. Let's go to the next chart. This is a chart that meant to show the richness of what the SNCC program has funded in the past. And in the past, we include research from fiscal year 2017 through our last solicitation, which ended fiscal year 2020. It's not meant to indicate propose here or don't propose here. It is meant to show areas that have been funded in the past. You can look at the link at the top of the page to find more information on those specific projects. And you can see on that link a video that describes the program from the researcher and community side. Let me turn the presentation over to Dr. Zivell, who will next give a detailed discussion of the Smart Connected Community solicitation.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to now speak about the specific components of this year's solicitation. So the SNCC program anticipates $23.5 million in funding for this round of the solicitation, and this will support around 20 to 30 projects. Four categories of proposals are accepted, and these are summarized in the table that you see on this slide. I'll speak a bit more about each category in subsequent slides. The first two types are integrative research grants, which are fully formed project concepts. Track one is for up to 4-year duration with a maximum budget of $2.5 million. Track two is for up to 3-year duration with a maximum budget of $1.5 million. The next category is planning grants, which are for partially formed concepts, and these are for 1-year duration and a maximum budget of $150,000. And the number of awards in these three categories is going to depend on the overall set of competitive proposals that we have that agree to which they meet the solicitation goals and criteria, along with NSF merit review criteria of intellectual merit and broader impacts. The final category, which is new this year, is for a virtual organization for the SNCC community. One award is expected for this category, and it will be for up to a 3-year duration and up to $250,000 per year. So now I'll say a little bit more about each of the categories. So as I mentioned, the category proposals called Integrative Research Grants, or IRGs, are the SNCC program's full awards. Teams proposing IRG proposals should have clearly identified needs within a community that inspire the proposed end goals, outcomes, and deliverables. And very importantly, these projects must benefit from both socio-technical research as well as piloting activities within the community. So as you probably know, not all deliverables relevant to communities would benefit from this approach. So before submitting, be sure to consider whether your proposed ideas are a good fit in this context. So a few more specifics. These proposals must have well-developed both the technological and social science research concepts need to be well-developed here. And they must describe the pilot activities that will be carried out as part of the research activities. They should have an identified multidisciplinary team of researchers able to address the research concepts and implement the piloting activities, have well-developed partnerships with at least one community partner, along with specific stakeholders who are involved in co-development of the project concepts, participation in the pilot activities, and also very importantly, have opportunities to influence and help to evolve the research activities and direction of the project, as well as the pilot activities as the project is being executed. As we noted, there are two tracks available for IRGs, differentiated by the duration and the size of the award. This proposal category has specific labeled components that must be included, but I'll speak about that in a few minutes from now. So the next category are the planning grants. And these are quite different from the IRG category, as this category is for project teams who have their project concepts partially formed, but who need additional time to build out their research concepts, piloting activities, and to strengthen and possibly broaden their academic and community partnerships. These are 1-year awards for a maximum of $150,000. While the projects are not fully formed, keep in mind that proposals must still describe the community-focused problem that the project team wants to address, or at least in part describe that, as well as examples or use cases of how socio-technical research and also piloting activities would help to address the identified problems. Teams should be developing the planning grant together with at least one community partner, and importantly, must describe specific planning grant activities that will enable the project team to develop the partially formed project and concepts into a competitive integrative research grant. For the most part, these projects are not meant to support research activities, but limited research is allowed if it's essential for development of the project. As with IRGs, this proposal category also has specific labeled components that need to be included, which I'll speak about also shortly. So as a subset of the integrative research grants, this year we have a joint funding opportunity with Japan's Science and Technology Agency, JST. In the previous solicitation, we funded a series of planning grants with JST, and here we're looking to co-fund several integrative research grants. Projects in this category must focus on either recovery from COVID-19 or future resilience planning, either related to pandemics or other types of disasters. Importantly, the proposed activities across the US and Japanese teams need to be presented as a clearly integrated set of activities rather than simply projects happening in parallel. Teams should describe why their project would benefit from this international partnership and how the teams of US and Japanese researchers and communities would work together. These proposals are only in track two, so the 3 years and up to 1.5 million. And the maximum budget for each country cannot exceed $750,000. So the final category of proposals is the virtual organization. So this year we're looking to support one team to start a smart and connected communities virtual organization, which will be supported for up to 3 years at $250,000 a year. This organization could have several roles as a facilitator, including connecting teams across the already funded portfolio of projects, helping these teams to connect with the broader scientific community, as well as non-academic communities who would benefit from innovations developed in the SNCC projects, such as municipal and state governments, nonprofits, and industry. The virtual organization could also provide benefit to aspiring PIs interested in what's already been funded, looking to connect with currently awarded teams, or could help with aspects of matching communities and research teams. We are looking in these proposals for teams to describe their vision for the specific roles of the virtual organization and why these would be beneficial to the community. Teams submitting in this category should consider and describe the unique capabilities that their specific project team would bring to the virtual organization. As with any of the categories that you would be proposing to in this solicitation, feel free to reach out to us with questions. And if you do, we typically ask for a 1 to 2 page write-up of your concept before setting up a time for a short discussion. So now for a few additional proposal preparation instructions. So proposals in all categories that I just described must follow the most current version of the proposal and award policies and procedures guide, the PAPPG. You can easily find the link to that if you search for a PAPPG, NSF 20-1. And this will provide you guidance on the required sections for all proposals submitted to NSF. And this is addition to the specific requirements that are described in the solicitation for each of the categories that I went through. So just as a note, project description, there's a few project description page lengths. So for the integrative research grants, the project description cannot be more than 15 pages, and also for the virtual organizations, no more than 15 pages. And for the planning grants, it is a maximum of 5 pages for the project description component. Proposals can be submitted either through the Fastlane system, research.gov, or grants.gov. And multi-institutional proposals must be submitted by one lead institution using subawards for funding all other participating institutions. So project personnel and partner institutions are also required to submit a supplementary document for all proposal types. Okay, a few more considerations. No more than 2 proposals can be submitted per PI or co-PI senior personnel or consultant. There's no restrictions on who may serve as PI. This is all in the solicitation, everything I'm reading to you here. The letters of collaboration are strongly encouraged for all proposal types. And think about which institution it makes sense to put in the lead. If you are an institution in the lead who has not submitted before to NSF, then there's a few additional considerations which Dr. Corman will walk through in a few minutes. And but be sure to listen to that part carefully and look on the NSF site for what pieces need to be in, because some of the preparation that you would need to do could take several weeks to take care of, which means that you should probably be starting it around now. So all, as I had mentioned, there's for both the integrative research grants and planning grants, there are several additional labels sections that are required. And these are summarized in the table on this page. And I'll say a little bit more about each of these categories on the next several slides. So all categories in the integrative research grant section, track one, track two, and the joint projects with Japanese researchers must include sections labeled integrative research, community engagement, management plan, evaluation plan, and scope and scale. So this is all within the project description. The planning grants have to include two sections labeled planning grants, labeled integrative research and community engagement. Okay, so now I'll say a little bit about each of these labeled sections. So the integrative research section is required for all integrative research grants and planning grants. This section is the intellectual core of the proposal. All projects must include both social science and technological components and lay out the specific research questions underlying the work and how the project team of academic and community partners will address these questions through specific activities and outputs, including through piloting technologies or approaches together with community partners. Examples of the types of social science and technological areas are listed on this slide, and you can also find examples by searching the previously funded awards for the program listed in the NSF awards database, which can also be accessed through the SNCC website that we shared earlier in the presentation. This section should clearly describe what are the core research innovations in the proposed work. The innovations or the elements of discovery may be with respect to some or all of the social science components, the technological components, or both, but regardless, it must be clear how your proposed work goes beyond the state of practice or state of the art. As you lay out this part of your project, it's helpful to consider what academic expertise would be needed to carry out the proposed activities. Most of the time, this involves researchers from several different areas of expertise and departments. At the same time, there's not a requirement to check off a certain number or types of departments. The key is for the investigators to have demonstrated expertise in the areas that are being proposed. So onto community engagement. This is also a required section for all of the different types of integrative research grants and for the planning grants. Proposals must clearly define the community and reflect how the community will engage in meaningful ways with the proposed activities. Projects must involve at least one community working closely with stakeholders from that community. Successful projects often have involvement of stakeholders at both the level of decision makers and end users or residents. It's important to note that the community partners cannot just be recipients of the research or subjects of the research, but should also play an active role in defining and, very importantly, refining and involving the research and piloting activities. The specific ways that the community partner will be involved should be described in this section, and it's also strongly encouraged to include letters of support in your proposal from the partnering stakeholders, which we'll say a little bit more about later. Okay, so next is the management plan. So actually the next three sections are only going to be for the integrative research grants. So the purpose of the management plan is to describe the specific roles of the different members of the team. This section is especially important because these projects involve complex teams of researchers from across a range of disciplines, as well as community partners, both within the same city as the researchers, but also in a different state or maybe even a different country. These teams may or may not have worked together previously, so we want to get a sense of how your complex team plans to work collaboratively and in a practical way to carry out the proposed activities. Okay. So the evaluation plan, which is the next piece, should really help us understand how your project team plans to evaluate the progress of your work both throughout the project so that it can shape how your project moves forward, as well as at the end of the project and what the successes were in the project. And here you should also include the metrics for success. And the last section is the scope and scale. And so in this section, we're looking to get an idea of how your project team designed the size of the award, the amount, the different components that should be in it, in the project design, and also why, especially for the Track 1 projects, which are the larger ones, why is the scope and scale that you propose, this longer duration and the amount that you have requested, why is this necessary compared to the Track 2 projects? Okay, so I think now I will be handing it back over to Dr. Corman.
Thank you, Michal. So this chart provides a few pointers for organizations and PIs new to NSF. There are a number of links provided. One of the most important is the PAPG, which identifies what components are needed in any NSF proposal. For planning grants and integrative research grants, we have already defined certain sections that we want to see in the project description. Other PAPG requirements still exist. Example, project summary, facilities, results from past research, et cetera. All of those can be found if you look through the PAPG. Also, please note that writing or submitting an NSF proposal may be daunting to newcomers. A few pointers. Don't wait to the last minute. Proposals require certain PI, co-PI, institution information to propose. Be sure you understand these and get the required information well before the proposal deadline. This is a particular issue for nonprofit or other organizations that typically do not submit NSF proposals. Let's go to the next chart. As you write your proposal, remember that all proposals for the Smart Connected Community solicitation will be reviewed through NSF's merit review process by external review panels. Panels will frequently consist of a mix of research people spanning technology, including computer science, and social behavioral sciences. Panels will also have community participation. Our desire is much the same as in your proposal, you include a variety of disciplines and community people. Our desire is that panels reflect that same character of the program. One of the things to think about is put yourself in the perspective of the panel. What are the questions that a panel might have as they review your proposal? Will they see integrative aspects? Will they see discovery beyond today's state of practice and state of the art? Will they see a clear description of what the community is and how you're engaging with the community? What impact will they see? Is that impact commensurate with the budget? For planning grants, will they see a clear vision for a future integrative grant? Will they see clear steps to be taken in the planning grant and identification of the gaps that are going to be filled during the execution of the planning grant, including gaps that may be on the research side and or the community side? One thought, many of the questions panelists ask in their discussions are really the same questions proposers should be asking themselves as they tell their story in the proposal. Finally, just want to remind you that Smart and Connected Community, like many NSF programs, is a very competitive program. Bring your best ideas and your best proposals. Let's go to the next slide. Proposal deadline, February 24th, 2021. One of the points of confusion that sometimes has happened in our teleworking remote world these days is that 5 p.m. is local to the submitter's institution. So if your institution happens to be in Virginia and you are working remotely in Oregon submitting that proposal has to be received by 5 p.m. of where that organization is listed, not necessarily where you are in Oregon. Keep that in mind. A few key reminders here. We ask for very specific project description content for planning grant and IRG proposals. They're returned without review if they're not compliant. We ask for that information in part to make it easier to review, and we feel easier to tell your story in the proposal. As McCall said, a proposal can include multiple collaborating institutions, but these collaborations are via subawards, not through a distinct set of distinct collaborating proposals. Another reminder is your community representatives, your community people can be on the proposal and they can get paid. We have no restrictions in this program on who gets paid. Other points, make sure the research is integrative and tell us what are the discoveries to be made. Make sure you're clear on what the community is, how you're engaging with them, and for IRGs, what is the nature of that pilot and the community impact expected. For planning grants, it's all about the vision, the research questions, and how you're engaging with the community. Again, and I don't want to emphasize it enough, consider the perspective of the reviewers that are going to evaluate your proposal. For the VO proposal, we only ask that a proposal be PAPG compliant. Think about the VO from the perspective of users. How will it be used? Who will use it? What they will accomplish with it? SNCC is very competitive. Bring your best ideas. And finally, we want to remind you something that may be totally obvious. We can't review a proposal that's not submitted. Don't wait till the last minute. Familiarize yourself and your team with the information that's important, that's necessary to submit a proposal, and do that now. What we don't want to see is a lot of last minute calls on February 24th. I don't have an institution ID, or my PI doesn't have an ID, or my co-PI doesn't have an ID. Remember, these are things you can do early. Do them now if you're serious about thinking about the proposal. And finally, as McCall mentioned, hey, we provided our email addresses. PIs are welcome to send one or two page concepts to a relevant program officer. Make them specific and give us the basis of an interesting and engaging discussion. Don't send us a whole proposal. We're not going to talk about it. Let's go to the next chart. Again, we're listing our set of program contacts. Again, let me remind you, don't do a send all to everyone on the list. All our program officers don't appreciate that. And they don't appreciate having to send 10 answers to the same question. Let's go to the next chart. What is a community stakeholder? Who might be a community? Those are the collaborators that are directly linked to the community. We've identified many of the potential organizations that those community that community stakeholders may come from. And we ask you to think that community stakeholders are ones that can really help you make the research relevant and are the ones that can also help you in the integration of those ideas, those research concepts into practice. They can be your transition partners, the source of ideas, and the source of collaboration from both shaping your idea and providing impact. Let's look at the next chart. And let me correct a slight misstatement. I think McCall mentioned letters of support. We look for, on SNCC, letters of collaboration only. And we want you to think that, one, first of all, we accept the NSF template letter, as well as collaboration letters that specifically describe the details of the collaboration. Be sure that whatever form you use, it is not a generic letter of support. You guys are great people. I love working with you. Or has a level of detail that really describes what collaboration activities they will be engaged in. Those collaboration activities can be included in the project description. They can be described in the letter of collaboration, or they can be described more fully in the facility section. Vague, not described collaborations, truthfully, do not add strength to a proposal. And that finishes the formal presentation that we've made. And we can see that there are a number of questions. So we will start to look at some of those questions.
Thank you, everyone, for submitting questions. There were quite a lot of questions asked. I'll try my best to get through all of them. I will prioritize the ones that were asked most commonly amongst by different people. So starting off, one question we had was, do researchers need to be part of the community? For example, is it okay for a Boston-based research team to be working with a community in rural Iowa?
The answer to that is, you don't have to be part of that community. However, the question would be, how are you specifically engaging with that community? And do you have some sort of proxies that will be working with the community, perhaps locally, as you move into the piloting of the research activities?
We had several questions about international collaborators, kind of summarizing them. Is the funding solely for US researchers, or can teams bring researchers from, say, a foreign partner, to say a European university as a partner?
So the answer there is that NSF typically funds the US research partner. Now, we do include in our solicitation a collaboration with Japan Science and Technology Agency, who will be funding the Japan side partner for that collaboration. If you have a non-US partner, it really would be important for you to describe to us how that activity would be supported. In rare instances, and those are very rare instances, we can do some funding of international partners, but those are very rare indeed instances.
We had one question related to actually the Civic Innovation Challenge and how that relates to the current SNCC solicitation. So assuming that a team submitted a Civic Stage 1 proposal in August and have not heard back on that yet, but would like to reuse some of the Civic ideas for an SNCC planning grant, if Civic was not successful, what should they do?
The answer is one, and we regret we're behind on our processing of all our Civic awards, whether they're awards or some declines, in part due to the very large interest in that program. Those ideas that you have in Civic, especially those ideas that you feel may be riskier over the 12-month plus boot camp phase in the Civic program, may well be very applicable into the Smart and Connected Community program. Remember that Civic Horizon is roughly 4 plus 12 months. And we wanted to see that impact at the end, by the end of that civic activity. So you're feel free to look at those concepts that you may have proposed to Civic, maybe getting declined, and utilize them in either looking at a planning grant, or if the ideas were mature enough from a technical and social and community perspective, might very well fit into one of the integrative research grants, where you have actually more time to develop that technology concept. One of the clear items is the research horizon for Civic is somewhat shorter than the research horizon for Smart and Connected Community. So as long if that idea needs that longer period to mature to a pilot, then it may be a very good fit for Smart and Connected Community.
We had several questions relating specifically to planning grants. So first question, is it required to identify the community and get a letter of collaboration even for a planning grant? Or can that community partnership be developed, finalized as part of the planning grant work?
So let me answer that, and then I'll let McCall add some words. So first of all, remember that this is a very competitive program. So there are many, you know, we anticipate getting a lot of planning grants, and a planning grant may have gaps in terms of both the research concept that needs further discussion, needs further germinating, or that some of those community partnerships need to be cemented further. So yes, you can have those gaps, and we anticipate those. We do like to see a letter of collaboration with community partners in planning grants, because one, it tells us that you have done some of that work already, and that during the planning grant, you may be working further to refine those. But you're up against people that may well have very clear community partners and research that may need less refinement. So think about your how far you are already in that community activity. So McCall?
I won't add more to that one. I think there's a lot more questions.
Okay.
We've had a few questions related to planning grants that were awarded last year. So from those awards, the projects that would have started in September 2020, they are about 6 months into their activities. Should they apply for an IRG track one or two this year, or is it recommended for them to finish the planning grant project first and apply in a future solicitation?
So that's really a question that you as the proposer have to decide. Just a couple of thoughts are, one, hey, your planning grant may have really exceeded all the activities that you have anticipated getting done in the planning grant. there still may be gaps. It's your choice whether you feel that you have a clear and clear research description, clear partnerships with community that would enable you to really compete well in the integrative research grant side. One parenthetical comment is that generally, this is from experience, people that have submitted after their planning grant ends have done better. But that's doesn't necessarily apply to everyone, and you have to make the best decision that you think of for your particular team.
Okay. Question about collaborators. If there is a team that has already established partnerships with community stakeholders, can those community stakeholders serve as co-PIs? The person who asked this question is trying to differentiate between which group should be co-PIs versus those who should provide letters of collaboration.
They certainly can, and in some cases are encouraged to have them as co-PIs. But remember one thing, which is that as co-PI or senior personnel, they need set some information through in order to, for example, an NSF ID to be able to submit a proposal. So yes, they clearly can support the project as a co-PI or as a senior person. And as we mentioned, they can get funding from the lead institution.
Follow up to that, can the budget allocate for community partners?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on from that, another question related to planning grants. What planning items are the reviewers looking for in a planning grant proposal? For example, should the focus be on academic workshops to build out the research idea, or should we concentrate on community meetings to identify community needs and build relationships?
Do you want to address that, Michal?
Sure. So the activities should, it could be either one of those. It could also be other activities. It's you just want to include in the planning grant whatever activities you need in order to build out your team, strengthen your research. So whatever steps will help your team get to that are good steps for your team to take.
Question related to the full IRGs. Can the proposed budget for an IRG account for infrastructure costs required to set up a community-wide pilot, or is it expected that the infrastructure is already in place? An example being, say, the need for community-wide sensing. So should the focus mostly be on developing and evaluating the research, or can infrastructure costs be added to the budget?
Do you want to address that?
Sure. So in a you can have a certain amount of your budget that goes to infrastructure costs, but you need to consider whether that is actually helping your pilot activities. And you need to make a case that that is actually what's needed for your to carry out your pilot activities. So it shouldn't be infrastructure that's kind of going beyond that, that the community should likely be paying for. Yeah, I think I'll stop there. Maybe David wants to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of extend that a little. Sometimes when one thinks of a pilot, if one's looking at a pilot within a small community, that pilot may be enough sensing or other capability infrastructure that provides things over that entire small community. If one were to take that idea and look at doing that pilot, perhaps in the city of Chicago, it might need thousands and thousands of sensors and the budget required to provide that sensing capability or processing would basically overwhelm the budget. What you have to think about is, what is the size and scope of your pilot, and will it show the kind of impact on that community that will really excite us and also excite the panel?
Question related to who can serve as co-PIs. So can USGS employees be co-PIs or individuals funded from a national lab, for example, NREO?
So as long as they are they can't be PIs, but they can be co-PIs and receive funding from the lead organization. So if one is from a national lab, they can participate as a subawardee, which could be a co-PI on part of it.
So it was mentioned that SNCC proposals should be able to scale up or transfer to other communities. Should proposals specifically outline how we will work to transfer the results to other communities?
So can you repeat that?
Sure. Basically, the question is asking, a component of SNCC proposals is that they should be able to scale up or transfer their work to other similar communities. So should the proposal specifically outline how the work will be transferred to other communities?
So the answer there is, we look for ideas that we and a panel would be able to see as transferable. So in some instances, one can look at the research concept and the overall proposed idea and see, you know, I believe without a lot of explanation that I can take this idea from, say, Nashville and move it to St. Louis. In some instances, having some additional explanation that describes mechanisms for transferability is helpful. A lot is really what would be clear to the panel, or how much level of detail you need to be able to add to make that case. We're not looking for pages and pages that describe why it's transferable.
Following up on that, can two communities be connected through the project? In particular, for example, say linking a Native Hawaiian and Native American tribes in Washington through a core methodology?
Sure.
Okay. We had a question regarding the JST proposal. So person asked, does the submission of the SNCC IRG JSTs follow the same procedure as the regular IRG proposals that are US only?
And so there are two proposals that have to be submitted. There's a regular proposal, which is an integrated proposal from the US partner. Has to be submitted to NSF via Fastlane, grants.gov, et cetera, meeting the timeline of February 24th by 5 p.m. The Japanese collaborator also needs to submit their proposal to Japan Science and Technology Agency, and they should check with the JST website that describes the submittal process for their proposal.
I'll mention also that the solicitation has a few other additional guidelines for the JST proposals. So look through carefully and make sure that you're including those components as well. Actually, this really goes for all of your all proposals. What we're telling you, what really the solicitation is the what you should really be following. We're trying to give some guidance, but make sure that you're looking through the solicitation and that you follow everything very carefully that it lists in there.
So one other proviso, following up on the JST question, is if it's late from the JST perspective, it's defined in their on their call, their respective call, then that that whole proposal is out. So you're if you're submitting to the NSF JST, make sure your Japanese colleagues are fully in tune with JST submittal requirements.
A few questions regarding budget allocations for planning grants. Can planning grants have budget allocated towards paying graduate students and postdocs, or is it just restricted for planning activities and traveling and meetings?
No, they can and frequently do have funds that are allocated to graduate students, postdocs, or some cases undergraduates.
And it was mentioned that planning grants can take on limited research activities. Is there a recommendation on how much of the budget can be allocated towards research?
No, that's really, there's no limit, no limitation. Main point is the proposal can't simply come across as just a mini research project.
It was mentioned that communities can also have budget like community partners can have a portion of the budget allocated towards them. Is this restricted to community nonprofits, or can for-profit organizations also be included in that?
The answer to that is yes. Yeah, this is a solicitation that has a minimal set of eligibility requirements. And if you feel that you have to provide funds to either nonprofit, for-profit, community partner to make sure that you get their time, their support during integration, that's acceptable. Also, be aware that in some cases, community partners can't accept funding, and you may want to, in your proposal, if that's a case that you're running into and you wanted to give funding, you may want to make that clear.
There was a follow-up question on working with multiple communities across the US. So if a project is working in multiple communities across the country, do they all have to be equally involved, or can some of them be more involved than the others?
And the answer to that is, we have to see significant activity with at least one. And the level of engagement is always going to be scalable to the funds that have been provided.
Follow-up question on the GST proposals. So should the GST proposal be the same for the US and Japanese teams, or should each party focus more on its own contributions?
We want to see the proposal that gets submitted to NSF needs to really represent a well-integrated story. And it should not just be the research activities of the US partner.
Okay. And a question regarding past planning grants. Can the results from a previous planning grant be explicitly mentioned in an IRG proposal?
Sure. Bring whatever you can to as you write your proposal. One point that I would mention is at some time people have asked, do I need to have a planning grant to apply? And the reality is They're independent. The proposers, if you will have probably included it in past or results from previous NSF support, but it's independent unless you bring forward those activities that you've done. And we fund many projects that have planning grants, have had planning grants, and many that have not had planning grants.
We had a question related to the core SNCC research areas that were described earlier in the webinar. So are projects restricted only to those core SNCC research areas that were mentioned?
And I think the answer to that is we thought these are representative. Just make a case why that is an important research area within the context of smart and connected communities. So the answer to that is really, hey, tell us that story.
A question related to COVID-19. So is it recommended that proposals address relevance to execute the community research within the context of COVID-19 and working through the pandemic?
I think the answer to that, I think we should defer the answer to that question because some reason I'm thinking there was a dear colleague letter that discussed that at an NSF proposal level. And we'll hopefully post an answer to that question.
Okay. Question regarding biosketches of community participants. Do biosketches of community participants and consultants need to strictly follow NSF biosketch formats?
So we recognize that format isn't really oriented around community participants. But I think they should use that format to the extent that is possible.
This is another place also though within your project description where if you have a little more information to describe the specific community partners who you are including and why you're including them, you could spend probably not a large amount of space, but you may want to say something in the project description.
Question regarding the community stakeholders. Can the community stakeholder be a virtual organization as opposed to an organization that is based in one or more physical locations?
So impact has to, as we said, communities have to have a geographic boundary. And we're going to look at impact within a boundary. Impact within a community. That community, what we would want to be, people may be part of virtual community, but impact should be in a particular geographic region.
Okay. I believe we have exhausted most of the main research questions that came in, our main questions that came in, sorry.
Okay, so if you have additional questions that you have thought of or you don't think were sufficiently addressed, then please feel free to email one of us with your questions and we look forward to receiving your proposals. Thank you.